Here again and gathered in a peaceful setting here and to see all of you, so many of you here. For your presence, and I have over the past couple of weeks have thought of the different duties that people in this group do. Not just in life, as far as obeying God and so forth, but then also in church, in school, in family life. And so I'm thinking about Thanksgiving this morning. We normally have a Thanksgiving Sunday evening service that we're not going to have. So this morning will be somewhat on that theme, and I've asked a few to share on Thanksgiving, and then I will conclude. But first, I've asked Ryan Weaver to come and share a bit on their work, and so let's give him our attention at this time.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here this morning. It feels, I was telling Kate on the way down, I don't think we've been in a church more than an actual church building for maybe more than two or three times in this past year. And so, yes, it's good to be in a church building this morning, filled with people that we know, and we know that the Spirit of God lives in our hearts and not in our, it's just the church building. So yeah, it's great to be here this morning, be with you guys. One thing I just wanted to share a little bit, what God is doing in our lives in Buffalo. I asked my family that a little bit, what they thought, what some things they thought, the way they seen God leading this way this past year. And one of the things Jeremiah said, he said that God doesn't always work like you think. And I think that's something as a family we felt a lot in this past year. Our first month being there was rough, as far as we moved into a neighborhood pretty quickly. We needed to find a rental. We found one pretty quickly. I was close to where we wanted to be, and there was full it had gun violence, and just kind of not really what we were expecting to live right beside. And but God transformed the neighborhood in the time that we're there. We don't feel like it's anything that we did. We feel like it's the way that God worked through us and be able to build some relationships with people. And we felt at many different times that God doesn't necessarily work in the way that we think. Sometimes we go into a place with some new ideas, new thoughts, and what God might do. And God has, He's worked in many different ways, unlike what we've expected to see. One of the things that give you a little picture of what our neighborhood looks like. We're kind of in a rough area of the city that a lot of vacant houses around, but there are some. It's culturally diverse. We have Pakistani, Bengali, African American, white. There's all a bunch of different ones of us that we became friends with over the last year, and so we live in that type of a neighborhood. And so of something that has came to me and Kate's mind, something that she said about this last year, is that God, that's standing out to her, is that God loves the least of these. And in Luke, a verse that just came to us recently, Luke chapter 14, verse 12 says, When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends or your brothers or your relatives, nor your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you should be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And just going into Thanksgiving here and thinking about inviting people that we know, inviting family, getting together like that, and like we could do that. And we could do that on a normal basis. And sometimes I feel like we do a lot of that. As a group up there, we try to meet together pretty often. But there's so many times that there's people around us that are just hurting. And you guys are very familiar with that in this setting here, too. And yeah, just to love on the least of these that God has put in our lives, I think is in our neighborhood, that's the people that are around, and God has given us awesome opportunities already. Kate has met with a lot of different, she has made friendships with two of the Muslim ladies right next to us, that people said is very hard to make relationships with the ladies especially, and Kate has got opportunities to get in with them a little bit and have some relationship with them. It's been great. We'll be able to share the Bible with one of them, even though they're not really supposed to accept that. She has also had an opportunity in the last number of months to teach Arshman, a little, how old is he, nine, eight, eight-year-old, tutor him. The mom and dad came over to her house and asked if we would be able to teach. So Kate's already doing homeschool, so she's tutoring him after school. Just some different opportunities. We wanted to be in the Muslim community and have some interaction through just normal relationships, normal life. And so we feel like that is happening. God has, right now, I've taken off work for the winter, working at the shop. Friday was my last day there. And I'm just focusing, I'm doing snow removal yet throughout the winter, which will be whenever it snows and ices and all that. But yet I'm taking the winter to refocus a little bit and see if I can get back into my, I'd work outside of town, so I want to be in my community, so you just can pray for me in that way to see where God would lead in this next winter months, to see where he would have us go from there. Hopefully we can, I would like to work more in my community with the Muslim people, or in a way that God leads, and so hopefully throughout the winter I can see some of that. One more thing I've been thinking about as a group up there, some of us have been talking about and praying about, is thinking about the harvest being ready and being white. In John chapter 4, Jesus, after he was talking to the Samaritan woman, he talked with the disciples, were saying, you know, you need fed, and Jesus said, my food is to do the will of my Father who has sent me. And he goes on to say, then behold, I said to you, lift your eyes and look to the fields, for they are white, and they are already white for the harvest. And I think we recognize that the fields are already white and they're ready and all around us. And then in Matthew 9:36-38, it says, pray, for the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And so one of our prayers in our community with each other is to continue to pray for laborers. And we've been seeing the way God can transform people's lives and transform neighborhoods and work when there are willing families to move into neighborhoods and be involved in their community. And our prayer as a group up there is that there would be more people like that. They'd be willing just to see the opportunities around them, to grasp them, to realize that the fields are white and the time is now. And let's all continue to pray that together, pray for one another in our different work. And just think about us as we work up there. God has been faithful. He has been good. There's times we felt like when we first moved there that we were living in fear. And so we do not feel like that anymore. We feel like we are living in faith, and some situations have changed around us, but God is good.
Okay, thank you, Ryan. I've asked Walt and Clifton and Caleb, three different age groups, to share 4 minutes and see how well they do. Share 4 minutes on something they're thankful for or the topic of Thanksgiving. So you can just take your turns there.
I can't see the second hand there.
That's all right.
You have to beep when the 4 minutes are up. I'll tell you, for me personally, I'm going to talk from an older person's view, okay? That's hopefully what's going on. Clifton will talk from his generation. Anyway, I better start here. The first thing I am thankful for simply the fact that when I haul all these medical assistance people around on Medicaid, for some reason, I don't know if it's because I'm an older guy or what the deal is, but they unload on me everything in their whole life. And I realized very quickly how blessed I was simply and how thankful I was, if we're talking about thankfulness, that I was born in a family that took me to church and I learned about God from the time I could remember that God existed. And I think about these people I hauled around there that never went to church. This one girl, lady, she's 36, I think, that I take to appointments and stuff. She's telling me how when she was born, her mom was a prostitute and her dad married her as a prostitute and she didn't take care of them and they were on drugs. And anyway, after I listened to that for a while, it makes you very thankful just for the fact that you were born in a Christian family, if you want to call it Christian, because we went to church, okay? And that's my main thankfulness as far as starting out. And I'm also thankful for all the people that prayed for me throughout the years, because I was not a very cooperative young person there. I did some pretty crazy things in my life. I was pretty rebellious. I left home and went in the military for 4 years because I wanted to get away from home and was chicken to just go out on my own. So a lot of people were praying for me. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I live in the present time, and this is where my age comes in there, because I have a fake knee and a fake hip. And I was thinking if I was born back in the Bible times and I had problems with my hip and my knees, I'd just suffer the rest of my life. So I think sometimes about the good old days, because when I was a young guy, we used to watch movies on the back in the 50s and stuff, you know, and everybody seemed to love everybody, and there was no crazy thing about changing your sex and all that good stuff there. And so, you know, I always thought, oh, that'd be neat to live in them time periods. But then I thought about that I'm falling apart, how hard it would be for me to live in that period if I had all these problems that I'm having now. Because you can almost get anything transplanted anymore and stuff there. So I'm thankful that I live in this time period. And the biggest thing that I think about at my age is the fact that I was born an American. You know, I often, when I listen to all the turbulence and the wars and the struggles these other countries are dealing with, it makes me think, what did I do to deserve to be born an American instead of somebody in another country, you know? These countries where I read a story about this Indian girl that their whole life was just finding the next thing to eat, you know? They'd go to garbage dumps or whatever just to find something to survive on. And I'm thinking, what did I ever do to deserve to be born an American where, you know, I didn't have to worry about somebody shooting me because I went to church or something like that there? And I spent enough times in other countries that when I got back to America, I almost wanted to kiss the ground from being back in the States where it's safe, you know, because I spent 6 months on a cruise out in sea, and so we visited a whole bunch of different countries. Anyway, I'm running out of my 4 minutes there, so I want to conclude with this whole thing as far as my thankfulness to God. Is and this is familiar stuff, and I'm going to be reading out of the NIV there and stuff. It says, and this is because of me being such a rebellious young fella and stuff, and never joining a youth group, anyway, I ain't going to get into all the things I got into, but anyway, this is where I'm thankful to God for it here. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. This is out of the NIV. Slow to anger, abounding in love, he will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. And that's where I was thinking about with this morning with David there, is the fact that we are human and we are fallible. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. And his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. So in other words, he is very gracious and forgiving and compassionate for people like me that has lived a pretty rebellious life when I was a young guy there. So I am very grateful for anybody and everybody that has been involved with me becoming a Christian. So, all right. Is that my 4 minutes?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So as I was reflecting or thinking about the idea of thankfulness and thanksgiving, and we can often go, it's fairly easy to start making a list, and just making a list for the sake of making a list. And several verses that was coming to my mind, even some songs, but Psalm 107:1 talks about giving thanks to the Lord for his mercy endures forever. And that is one, as I look back, look on my life, even today, just the realization that God is merciful and that my mistakes, my failures, when I hurt other people, when I argue against God or whatever is happening, that his mercy is there and it endures forever. It's not a time clock or whatever, or, all right, you had 50 of them, so I'm done. Psalm 95:1 and verse 3, I'm also thankful that he is the rock of our salvation. That God is, he is the rock, and he is the foundation of our salvation. That's something that will not be moved, can't be moved. Verse 3 says, great God, he is a great God, he's a great king above all. And as I look at the world around us, look at the United States, and look at all the upheaval and the turmoil and things like that there, I am just so thankful this morning for a God that is great. He's a great king, which includes his justice, his mercy, his grace, his all-knowing, and he is above all. And not only that, is he's not up for election. Just the idea that he's going to be there, if he tarries, he's going to be there 50 years from now, 100 years from now, my children's generation, and on and on and on, he will still be that. And so those were some of the verses that came to my mind as I was thinking about the practical side. And I was just reflecting, like I mentioned, it's easy to list. It's easy to make a list or to see the material things that we have, my family, and job, health, and those are all great. Those are all things we should be thankful for. But as I just step back and reflect it, it's easy to sit down to a meal that is abundant and say, wow, God, I am just so blessed. Thank you. And yet, as I reflected on my past, reflected on the opportunities that God has given me, especially over in Asia, in Nepal and Thailand, you know what, there was people that were just as grateful as I am sitting down with a big meal for a handful of rice. And as I sat there, sat around the table with orphan children and children or whatever, and they looked at it, and their eyes were extremely wide. There was excitement because they had a bone of chicken, and that was it. And they were just so overwhelmed with thankfulness. And the reality is, you know what, it's easy to be thankful when I have a big bowl of mashed potatoes and a whole turkey and all that's here in front of me. But am I as thankful? Do I see the blessing that God gives me in just the necessities? Just clothes and food and shelter and being content with that. being content. I can easily complain or be thankful, somewhat thankful for the wages I earn, and yet am I thankful when I see someone in Thailand? They're thankful they have a good job and they're making 10 to 15 bucks a day. And they're just as grateful as I am. And so for me, as I think about Thanksgiving and being thankful, there are many things, my family, my church, you all, friends, that I'm extremely grateful for. But I think for me, the takeaway this season is looking beyond all the lavish things, and am I truly grateful for just the things that God has given us, and having a heart of gratefulness for that there. So thank you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. So, I was thinking about my life, and I've had a fair amount of experiences living in Canada and Thailand, and one of the things that I'm really thankful for is that I have parents who have taught me about God, and I got to see that really clearly in Thailand, going to a temple and watching people offer sacrifices and incense to a God who's not ever going to do anything for them and doesn't care about them or love them. And it was saddening watching them, how serious and how desperate they were to, and all in just a hope that in the end it might all work out. And so that's something I'm really thankful for. And yesterday while I was hunting, the verse came to mind. So this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I was just thinking about that. I was really blessed yesterday just to spend a day out in the woods. And I mean, even though I didn't get anything, I still had a good day. And I'm also thankful for my friends. And I have friends all across the world and different nationalities. And it's just really good to spend a day with friends, and we're all working together, and I don't remember what verse it is, but where it says, rejoice when they rejoice, and I mean, sure, everybody wanted to get a bear, but not everybody did, and we were all happy for those who did, and yeah, that's just, I've been thinking about that yesterday, and I'm really thankful for my friends.
Thank you. I am wondering maybe if I should have just said, well, let's just continue this and you all come up here whenever you're ready and finish the time together. Thanksgiving is a special day this coming week that as a nation has been recognized for giving thanks for the abundance of harvest. And we get together then as family and friends and people on a, whether it's Thursday or other days, to kind of recognize the Thanksgiving. But I think what was shared here with our three brothers here is the idea that there's thankfulness throughout the year. It's not just a special time. And so one of the quotes that I have here when I think of Thanksgiving, thankfulness, just like the accusation, acquisition, just like the acquisition of most virtues, you can't instantly become thankful. You only become thankful when you habitually practice gratitude in your life. And so that's kind of the thought that I was thinking when I think about the whole year and getting together from Sunday to Sunday and my thoughts, my personal thoughts of the idea of what this group does. I see people work in this community when I drive around. If I drive around in the community, I drive outside the community lots of times. But if I see people, I see bus drivers and I see garbage men and I see street workers and I see, you know, you all working your jobs and the things that you do, and we're as thankful people, we're making a difference. And I'm not saying we because we're so good, but because of God's working in us. And I'd like to encourage you in that. It's, you know, this work that goes on every day for 30 years now in this community is because of a faithful group of people. And we don't really raise our hands and say that we're saints or something like that. But, oh, by the way, the Bible does call you saints, if you're not familiar with that term. But lay that aside, we don't usually raise our hand that way or think that way. But when the work of God is continuing in a community for this length of time, it's not because of one person. And it's not because of the three or four original people that or group that came. It's because of the people that are here, faithfully working in the community. And your thankfulness for your work and your job and some things that were expressed here this morning already is very noteworthy. It will be noticed. The other thing that I'd like to share with you this morning is the fact that our thankfulness springs from an understanding of God's character. Our thankfulness springs forth from our understanding of God's character. You get that? Then the next question I have is that true? Do you believe that? Our thankfulness springs from our understanding of God's character. Is that okay? You like that phrase? It springs forth from our understanding of God's character. In other words, when we have a desire to know God, to know His ways and know more about Him, and know His character, I do believe that will have our focus on Him and not so much on our circumstances. And so our focus on, our desire to focus on God's character will hopefully produce something different than the normal people that you run into on the street. Because we understand God's character and He is busy in working in our lives, making us as a potter would do the clay. And when we study and we think about God's character, I do believe that is a true saying. Our thankfulness springs forth from our understanding of God's character. It will distract from the negative things that Satan will want to put in your life and in your thought life and your circumstances, and why is this happening to me? What does this all mean? And why? We all have questions like that. But if we can focus on God's character, I hope we can then be a thankful people and not allow Satan to distract us and bog us down with the thoughts of what we're involved in the current. One of the things that I think about here in this quote that I read, you only become thankful when you habitually practice gratitude in your life. And so in Matthew 25, you really don't need to turn to it, but it's verses that we're very familiar with, verse 35 to 40. Matthew 25, 35. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when? And that's the big thought or the big word in this whole phrase of verse, the whole section of verses. When saw we thee in this condition? When did we, the people there in that setting, in a reality, just in a talking just face to face with Jesus, are saying, well, when did we ever even see you in prison? Or when did we ever even see you naked, or that you needed clothing, or you needed food or water? And so the question, the thing that I'd like for us to think about, you only become thankful when you habitually practice gratitude. The fact is, when they said, when did we do this? And his answer is, whenever you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And so when we go about doing those things, we can say, well, we're doing it unto the Lord. Yes, that's correct. But what I'd like to think about is the phrase that they said, when? When did we do this? And that only comes from a heart that's full of God, that's full of doing those things as a natural. And I'm convinced when Dalton's talk about going to visit a friend in the hospital, and we do this stuff and that is happening all over. When in the house parents, we were house parents for 6 years and gave a lot of cups of cold water, and it's just water, and we have it freely in this country. But that's also mentioned here. But what I like for us to focus on is the idea that we habitually do that, just not because of who we are. It's just how God would do. Right? And it's just a thing that we do. You don't wake up in the morning and say, wow, I'm going to do this, Matthew 25:35. I'm going to focus on that today. Well, maybe sometimes we need to, but what I'd like to suggest for our Thanksgiving theme is that these people did it naturally. It was part of their life. This congregation here, these things are part of your life. And I would like for you to continue that. There might be, the Lord might tarry another 30 years. And the people, if the trend goes the way it is, these things are not near as natural to a lot of your people in your neighborhood. And so when we do this out of a natural, and that's how your children, Caleb says something about watching his parents. And that's what's happening here when we, without having teaching lessons or sit-down lessons, it is taught and caught by our next generation. That we would still have in the next group that comes along, still have this as a normal, if that's the right word. You can only become thankful when you habitually practice gratitude. When you are a person of gratitude, just like these verses here, you just give the things that are listed here and many other things that people do for each other as a natural, then that's what I think is being taught in this phrase here. You only become thankful when you habitually practice gratitude. Are you a grateful person? And we have sections in life that Satan would like to distract us from. So we all desire to have a devotional life as the top priority in our life. We want to read the scripture, we want to learn to pray, we want to learn to meditate on God's word, listen to him, quietly listen to him, speak to us, listen to the Holy Spirit through life, and our devotion to God, we all have that as our top priority as a Christian person. But then, as human beings, we have work, we have job, we have a home, we have a wife, we have children for some of us, and you have church, you have a brotherhood, and all those things in this life also take priority. And all those things are listed as good things in the Scripture, and all things are listed as things that need attention in the Scripture. We also need to be concerned about our job and providing for our needs. And we need to be concerned about our home and family and wife and whatever fits into that category. All those things keep us busy. Do they keep you busy? I think everybody is very overwhelmed at times about the busyness, and how do you get some of that in each? How do you supply all those needs of the family and wife and children and my job and church and brotherhood needs? And also, I want to have a good devotional life as a top priority. And so when I think of a person going through life, I think Satan, well, somewhere along the line in the Bible, it talks about him being the accuser of the brethren. Do you ever remember that verse? That's quite a phrase, isn't it? He's an accuser of the brethren. So when you're in your job, or you're thinking about your family and the needs that are there, or church and the things that are needed there and so forth, there is someone that's in the way. Satan wants to interfere with all those categories. He actually wants to interfere very much in our devotional time too. But can't you see him in our own experience? I mean, I could go on and on. But I can see him involved in my family life. I can see him involved in the negative things that happen at work. And I can see him involved in the things that happen to the brotherhood that I bug somebody else, and we have tension and so forth. And Satan is in the middle of that. Satan wants to bog us down and not notice that God is in each one of those categories also. And when I go to work tomorrow morning and the things that come my way, I can be a person that is thankful for the work that God has given me. In that category, we can still be a grateful people. There's people that influence us at work, or hopefully we can influence them also. But it's the idea of being grateful at work and seeing God's character at work and all those things that go on in a day's work. I mean, it's the same for all of us. We have interferences, and Satan is in the middle of trying to get us bogged down that we just focus on the negative things at work. Then we just focus on the negative things at home. And all the needs, and I can't keep after. And my wife, I got to meet her needs. And the children, there's five of them, I got to meet their needs. And on it goes. And you get, doesn't that sound like Satan? Doesn't that sound bogged down? You can just feel it. But I believe in the midst of this, God wants us to be a thankful people and notice the character of God in everything. My prayer is, as we leave here this morning, is that we would notice God in all our categories of life that we have. Notice the character of God. If it's true, and if you agree with this phrase, our thankfulness springs from our understanding of God's character, let's leave here and notice God's character in all those categories. It's there to learn from. It's not always easy. Let's be a natural people that are grateful people that it's natural to do that. Noticing God's character in all of the things that we encounter in a week's time. Let's pause for prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to be thankful for all that you have done for us in these years of being here. We thank you for each one that's here and the work they do in this community and in the church. We just ask your continued blessing on them and us as we naturally just give cold water to those that are in need. Help us also then to be naturally grateful for who you are and notice you in the situations and not allow Satan to distract us in our different responsibilities that we have. Just guide and direct us and help us to continue to serve you faithfully as we have this opportunity to serve you without being distracted like many other parts of the world are today. Realize that we are a blessed people and ask your presence with each one as we go about living our life for you. Just bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.